published in the Sefer called, I think it's called Kerem Chabad, Volume 3. And when they started the yeshiva, when the Chachamim started, they didn't provide the Bachrim with Rosh Yeshivas at all. Just at Mashpia. The Bacham that they took in Chachamim were officially Bacham, that we can't go to London already, so Shein can't London. And then Chachamim just provided them with Chassidus. A few years later, they started to let in younger Bachrim, so they had to hire Mashpiyim, Rosh Yeshivas, Mashgichim, and Lamdim. And there's a whole Arichas where the Rebbe Rashab wrote a letter. The Rebbe Rashab writes, he wrote this 100 years ago. That the Fidikev was telling the Rebbe for saying that you make a Rosh Yeshiva. So the Rebbe Rashab says to him then, 100 years ago, that 50 years ago, he says, which means 150 years ago, Bachrim had Bittel, Talmidim had Bittel. So he had a Rosh Yeshiva, the Yeshiva gave Shiyurim, and from his Shiyurim, you got a Derech HaLimud. And the Talmidim had enough humility to take. He says, today Talmidim are not capable of this. So instead of a Rosh Yeshiva, you need a Mashgiach. And he explained, what's a Mashgiach? You're Rosh Yeshiva and a Mashgiach. The Yeshiva is first Chiddush HaTeira, but where help? Where his level of learning. The Mashgiach goes over to each Bachr and sees what the Bachr is holding and speaks to him in Teira, but where help? Because to give Shiyurim as a Omayro Lamata and expect the Bachr from Zayn Tzugit Terog to them, he says, they don't have enough biddle. This was 100 years ago. The Rebbe's a new cancer shavash online. But in any event, eventually Tam Chachmim had a yeshiva gedayla. They even had what they called a chadorim, the mitzvah bach, mesifta, and they had to hire Rashi yeshivas. So there's a whole. It's a famous story. They needed a Rashi yeshiva in Lubavitch, and they couldn't find one. They called different lomdim, and you should know when you're talking a long time ago. There were big lomdim came to be. Tested to become to take the position of Rosh Yeshiva, and basically the Shteger was Namol, had to give a shiur, had to let Bacham Lenin, and the Bacham fell nice and shtikir. You know, the Bacham had to upslug in the Rosh Yeshiva, and if he passed the test, you know, there were kama Gor Greisa mentioned that came to take this position, and Mipnei Sibas they weren't hired, which is a story unto itself. I'll tell you another time. So finally, the Fidikev said, the Rebbe Rashab, I can't find anybody. Had the Rebbe Rashab gesagt, as aver steht uf, noch ein witte dicke Schlaf. When they get finished, not what's to eat, left at the egg in a lapis. As even the mice, a bear wakes up after hibernation. He's hungry. He can't find food. He licks his paws. So the Rebbe said, if we can't find the Rosh Yeshiva, we'll take one of the Talmidim, make him a Rosh Yeshiva. And Lubavitch went out to Talmid Yisnab Shmuel from Barasov, not to be confused with the Shmuel Ber from Barasov, who was a chassid of the Talmud Tzedek's. He went out Gavaldik Alam, Rav Zalman Shimon, our earlier Rav. For those you guys don't remember him, obviously, but Rav Zalman Shimon was his Talmud. And you can't say they're good learning. And they made him a Rosh Mesifta, he gave a shir. And the Seder in Tam Chachmim was Azoy, that the Rebbe Rashab arranged that all the shiurim, all the classrooms, the door should be behind the teacher. So the teacher couldn't see who was by the door. And part of the reason for this was that the Rebbe used to come and listen. So it's like Yimach, that the Rebbe or the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe's son as he was then, would come and listen to the shiurim, and Vestach, if they had something to say, they said it. Akita, one time, this is Shmuel Ber, Shmuel Ber was giving a shiur, and he was unprepared. And he could see from the looks of the Talmidim that the Rebbe is standing behind him and listening. So what do you do if you're unprepared and the Rebbe is listening to your shiur? So the guy was a gun. And for him to make a pilpul and vayfar zechbet chrifis was no big deal. You can spin tail everywhere, anywhere you want. It wasn't gruntik, it didn't make sense. It wasn't the ikir that wasn't negated at Talmidim. And he gave this pilpul, and it was made a dikir. Zalman Shimon was there b'shas ma'aser. Zalman Shimon had a good head. Zalman Fashtan was named pilpul lechet. Afterwards, the Rebbe Rashab calls him. The Rebbe Rashab knew right away that he was unprepared. You know, it was a good shiitake, but it was unprepared. It wasn't for his Talmidim. And the Rebbe tells him like this. Bazei, by them and other yeshivas, they would hang you up and they'd bow down to you. Over here we go like this. In other words, a shiur which is unprepared, maybe a good shiur, but doesn't it? That's not what this is about. A shiva, a shiur, doesn't do it. I'm not properly prepared this morning, which is a big avar. It's okay. You can see it. Now, huh? Oh, well, I told you, she had tears in her eyes. She was talking about how the Munah the betachim by these tmimim, by these bachim, and the girls who come here, it's so special. It lifts everybody up.
I'm saying, 80 years old.
She's been in Lubavitch her whole life, and she's, okay, she's 70 years old. And I mentioned it in class yesterday, so she came up to me after class, and she said, Vistach, if you need, you can say it in somebody's name. You know, she was saying how when she saw the bachim come in, the way they prepare for the Rebbe's minion, and they stand there, and they believe the Rebbe davens with them. It's a moidin dikizach. We live in Kran Haizman. Zecha, kalta fish, we're frozen, like, you know, mamish. You can't be more frozen than we're frozen. And these Archim come, and they tell them, and that's Israel, you come to 770, or Dorton left the Rebbe. They come over here, the only people who live with the Rebbe are them. Come on. Zanin kalt. At least we can, you know, as uncomfortable as we may be, you hang around those Bachrim. It's a chobrad mabisim. The idea of living with the Rebbe, these people, for them, it's not a spiel. And it's not supposed to be a spiel for us either. It's a vayder. Chassidus and Rebbe is very serious, you know. Being connected to the Rebbe is not just a club and a culture. It's a way of life. It's a way of serving the Ebishter. And you got to take it seriously. You have to lock in. You got to connect. And they do a lot more for us than we can ever do for them. The Archim come over here. Somebody told me the other day, I said to him, I heard that in Tzfas, the Rebbe is alive. So he tells me, but in Tzfas they told me that in the 770 the Rebbe is alive. And it's true. Mir Shlaf, you know, every one of us has to feel achrayis to ourselves, Pasha. So lev mit nerem. I'm not saying that, you know, every person has his own avoida. They're shayt yechid, they're shayt nish yechid, but yechid is true. Whether you say it or not, the idea that you have, the Rebbe has to live for you is, if the Rebbe doesn't live for you, you're not a chassid anymore. You should know the definition of a chassid is somebody who has a Rebbe. Not somebody who had a Rebbe. Someone whose father had a Rebbe, whose aide had a Rebbe. It's called a cultural chassid. You want to see culture chassidim, go to Bar Park. You see by the thousands. Wonderful Jews, erech yidim, who tell you stories about a Rebbe that lived 50 years ago. And the Rebbe, they don't have a Rebbe today. And Mitzidam, their feeling is that they don't know where to go. I just met a Yid, a Belzer. His father was a Belzer, and his Eider was a Belzer. He doesn't go to the Belzer Rebbe. He goes to some, he doesn't feel like the previous Belzer Rebbe was very big tzaddikim. But today's Belzer Rebbe is a nice guy. But compared to his uncle and his Eidah, the Zengiven Tzaddikim, with Ruach HaKadosh, these were the holiest people. And he's a very, very good leader, but he's not a Tzaddik at all. He's certainly not a Tzaddik on that level. And there are many Belzer Chassidim who don't go. And Mitzidam, it's Kilu, after you saw it about a Belzer, how could you go to this Belzer? Now, I'm not telling him what to do, but I can guarantee you that they're not Chassidim. The fire, the Sefran Ba'chassid, is because his Rebbe, he lives with his Rebbe. And Lubavitch Chassidim, the whole shturim of keeping the Rebbe alive, reward them by doing the Rebbe a favor, doing ourselves a favor. That's how you be a chassid. A chassid al lebedik Rebbe. A Rebbe versus gewesen is a chassid versus gewesen. A Rebbe versus is a chassid versus. It's very, very important. Extremely important. And these bachim come here from Tzfas, as crazy as they are, they're doing us a big favor. And as uncomfortable as we are about it, as much as we don't like it, but they agitate. You know, that's one of the jobs of a chassid, not to let people sleep and rest. That's a lemon. Anyways, I really sincerely, I don't think I'm wasting my time, because I'm l'chaim, you got to go to 770 and get between the bachim, the Israelis, and let them bother you, let them rub off on you, because then you'll be alive. You really will. I mean, chassid hatalev, it's very important. It's for us. Okay, let's get to the maimed. As you all know, this maimed and the next maimed are all about cups, about kaisis. Right? Cups don't mean physical glasses, thick or thin or otherwise. Cups means makablim, vessels, recipients. The point, of course, is, as I told you in the shiur before last, that we talk about a makablim who is not only a makabel, but he's both a makabel and a mashpia. A glass, you put water in, you take water out, salt things. The makabel that the maimed is talking about, as it's explained in Zohar, in Kabbalah and in Medrash, goes on Yidden, or at the world, on the world at large, what makes them, what makes it a makabel, is because they don't just take, they take and they give back. And the first mashal we had was Rechem HaNukva, yeah? In order to have children, you need to have a makabel. The makabel is an akeva, it's a female, or the earth, and the Eibish that planted the Koyach Einsof in the Makabel, in the earth, or in the Nukva, as I explained to you in the last Shia B'Kitzer, and we'll explain it later about Eichas. Yeah? But she needs a Hesedidus. The Makabel has the Koyach HaEinsof of Hashem. The power to reproduce was put into the Makabel, into the earth, into the woman, because of the Mailas HaBitl. The Kli to be Makabel, to create, Yesh Meyayin is Bitl. In other words, to have children is a miracle, as I explained to you in the last year. How can a human being be a Keli for a miracle if they have humility? The Makabel, the female, and the earth have this Bitl, and therefore in them is manifest the Koyach HaEinsof. But precisely because they're bottle, they have the possibility to have children, but they need something to spark the process, something to create, to actually make it happen, b'chel mamash. That's why you have to have a tchad. The tipa, the seed of the mashpia, which is invested in the makabel, but the keyach itself is in the earth. So when we speak about a woman and a man, or the earth and seeds, yeah, the woman is a makabel, but she's a much greater mashpia than the mashpia to her. Because Mashpia to her just gives a pitala, a point, a seed, and she creates Yesh Meyayin, because the Keyach HaEinsof is in her. The earth is a makabel from the seeds and from the rain. The Chassidus always talks about the rain, it doesn't talk about the seed, it talks about the rain being the Mashpia. But the Keyach HaEinsof, to procreate, to have a new crop of grains or legumes or even a fruit, is in the earth. The Keyach HaEinsof is in the makabel. So this makabel is also a Mashpia. About a third from the bottom of page Gimel, the Rebbe starts talking about the Dibur. And he says the same point again. He says, what are words? What are words? What are words? This is how I like to say this, and I think it's a credible way to start this conversation. Words are a pain in the neck. You can't live with them, and you can't live without them. Without words, you can't communicate. And whenever you try to communicate with words, you're always trying to find words. You just don't find the right words. Words are difficult to use. Why? Because they're rigid. In Chassidus, the word is like a rock. It's whatever it is, you can't change it, yeah? So if you arrange a bunch of rocks, one next to the other, in a succession, you create a form. But they're not flexible. You're trying to say an idea, yeah? I mean, for example, I mean, you guys are teenagers, so you're trying to talk about your emotions, your feelings, your experiences, your frustrations, your inner struggles, yeah? The greatest problem you have is expressing yourself, right? I mean, I don't know how many times in my life I have said and heard, I can't explain it. I can't explain it is the frustration of words. Words are a part of life. We must have words. Without words, we're not people, right? Monkeys also exist, but they can't speak. Words is what separates us from monkeys. Like it says in Targum Onkelos, you know this Targum? It says in the Chumash that the Eibishter created man, and Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, he blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and Vayihi ha'odem ha'nefesh chayim, man came a living being. So it says in the Targum Onkelos, on the words, Vayihi ha'odem ha'nefesh chayim, what does it say in Targum? Leruach me'malola, a soul that can speak. One of the most difficult faculties in a person, more difficult than even creating machines, is being able to put together words and speak. For those of you who know a little bit of the Tutzach HaDevelt, you know that they based on their Mahadin and the Chochmas Chachanius, as much as they can. By them, this is a Deiraisa, and it's from the Vizdachim. They're Mahadin to try and make people as much like animals as possible, or animals like people. Why? Because this way they can justify this absolutely ridiculous belief that they call evolution. So they try to prove that animals have certain skills which are human-like. And one of them is they use tools, they can create machines, and they communicate, whatever it is. One of the things that nobody could explain is how come certain animals like chimpanzees or gorillas or orangutans can't speak. They have all the plumbing, they have all the parts, they can't speak. And because it says in Targum that one of the most unusual gifts that the Eibishter gave man is the ruach memalol, the ability to talk, to communicate, to create words, which are added up into sentences, which are added up into paragraphs, which create complete forms of communication. Lahagul animals, even if they have all the plumbing, they don't have the nefesh that allows them to speak, and consequently, as a result, they're not able to talk. Talking is one of the most unusual gifts the Eibishter gave man, okay? We take it for granted. I mean, once you're 2.5, when you learn to speak, you don't even think about the fact that you can speak. And there's a reason for it, which maybe I'll get to. But speech is a very, very special gift. And like I'm saying to you, what is speech? Speech is you have an idea, and you're looking for words to express it. Without those words, you can't speak. With those words, you can speak, but you're always groping and grappling to find the right words. Because words are not flexible. Words can't mean 50 things. Words mean one specific thing. And you've got to put your idea into words. You know, I don't know if you ever heard the expression, trying to put the circle into a square. You can't fit the circle into a square. They have different shapes. Right? You have a circle and a square. They both have the same amount of area. It's impossible to put the circle. There's no way. To put ideas or feelings or sensitivities into words is very difficult because words are dead. They're like stones. But we need words. Yeah? So the Rebbe says in the Maimon, there's different types of words. There's words that are called machshava, the way we think. Says the Rebbe, the words of machshava is not so much of a problem. Why? To find words to think, you're talking to yourself. As long as you're talking to yourself, you know what you mean. It's when you're talking to another person, that's where words become a problem. Why? Why when you're talking to another person, the words become a problem? Because that person has to know what you're talking about. If that person has to know what you're talking about, so the words have to be coherent, they have to make sense. So when you're thinking, you also think in words, in oisis, as the Rebbe calls it, but it's not such a big deal. The scenario, the place where words becomes a matzias is in dibur, when we speak. And words are an obstruction. So now I want you guys to understand a couple of things. Number one, where do words come from? They come from the nefesh, yeah? There's a very unusual quality about words, and I think Hasidus tells you, you gotta think about this, okay? You want to create an idea. Yeah, you're learning a Tosfos in Psachim on that base, yeah? And you don't understand it, and you want to be Machadash Achidish, you want to resolve a question or a series of questions, whatever, yeah? So what do? You think. And sometimes you have to think hard, sometimes you have to get very frustrated until, aha, the Rebbe Shtu will give you a derher, a lichtigkeit, an enlightenment, a lightning, right? If you're not going to think, it's not going to happen. Have you ever noticed people concentrate on words? And I'll explain to you. I know a woman like who had the equivalent of a stroke. She was in a car accident. And her left hand is lame. Okay? But it's not paralyzed. There's another word for it, but she told me what it is, I forgot. Her left hand doesn't work unless she concentrates. In other words, she can tell her left hand, lift, hold, open, close. But you don't think about those things, right? When you lift, when you use your hands, one of the most beautiful things about a living thing is that it's reflexive. It happens with Derech Mamela. In the Lashna Chasidis, or in the Maimon that you're learning back at night, no, not in this Maimon, it comes from Rots, it's automatic. This woman had a stroke, so her left hand doesn't listen, and her left foot the same way. Every time she moves her hand, she has to mechaven. She has to deliberately move her hand, otherwise her hand doesn't move, push it. Most of us take mobility, most of us take moving our hands for granted. We don't think about it. Now, does anybody think about words? We don't think about words. Words just come. So it says in Hasidus, you have to understand, the emesis, it should be harder to produce words than to produce ideas. Why? Ideas come from a lower level of nefesh than words come from. Words come, as you mentioned, atheists come from etzma nefesh mamish. Ideas come from the helem of seichel, no big deal. So it should really be more difficult to find words than to find ideas. Now, could you imagine if every time I had to say a word, we had to concentrate? You can't, because then we wouldn't speak. We literally would not speak. It would just be too costly. It would be too difficult for us to speak. So the Rebbe did us a favor. And as they take the Fedish and Chassidus, it's in Ayin Beis someplace, that words come by themselves. Even though words have a very high shoydish, and in truth, words should cost an enormous amount of effort to produce. Every time you say good and morning, you have to concentrate on bringing out of your Atmos HaNefesh the G and the O and the O and the D, and then the M and the O and the R and N, I and G. Good morning, you should take an enormous amount of effort. The Rebishter gives us Oifias B'matana. The words just come by themselves. We work on the ideas. As long as we got ideas, the words are going to come. But when we speak, it's different. Yes, no, after when we think. When we think, we're focusing on the ideas, the words just flow. I saw a Lashon in the Maimon in Tzemach Vav in the back, where he says that a Rebbe speaks late in Am, according to the people, when Oisius shtel tzu atzmus umuhus. You speak to the people, you speak to them of what they have to hear, but exactly the words, how it comes out, atzmus umuhus, it's worth seeing the quote inside. Atzmus umuhus gives you Oisius. Oisius comes from atzmus umuhus, from the nefesh, but it's not effort, it comes by itself. the way Chassidus would say it, Oisius should really be like Yesh Me'ayin, and the Eibishter made it that it happens automatically. But there's a very big difference between thinking and speaking. Why? Because when you're thinking, all you're thinking about are the ideas. When you're thinking the idea. The words come by themselves. Speech, by definition. What is speech, by definition? Talking to another person. When you're talking to another person, the priority is not the ideas. The priority is saying them in good words. Right? What's the difference between a good speaker and a bad speaker? Who knows more, who knows less? No. Who communicates better? It's called dibur. So when you're speaking, you have to shift gears, right? I'm talking to you right now. Yeah? What's the priority that I should... That ideas should come out of me, or the ideas should come out of me in a way that you'll be able to receive them. So when a person talks to another person, they place more emphasis on the words they're using than on the idea they're communicating. Yesterday you learned something. Today you have to tell it to a group of people. Yeah, you have to give a shiur. You have to speak it out, what they call another yeshivas in a chabura. You have to speak to the other talmidim. When you're learning it, you're not worried about the words. The inyan is all that matters. When you're speaking to other people, your concern is that it should come out clear. You're looking for words. And words are a problem. Because words have no flexibility. You can't change words. Words are what they are. So if you want to use a word is a word. Whatever that word means, you're stuck with it. You can't change that definition. You've got to find a way of getting those words to work for your idea. And you're focusing on the words. So words are a pain in the neck. Words are a pain in the neck. When you speak, it's a pain in the neck. So the Rebbe says this, you should know. Words are a pain in the neck. You're going to see later on in the year, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll talk about Ariches, that words are a tremendous tzimtzum. Whenever you put ideas into words, they're compromised significantly when compared to how the idea is understood without the words. But there's another side to words. And that is that words come from the Etzma Nefesh. Because words come from Etzma Nefesh, as much as words are a difficulty, words are a difficulty because it's hard to express things in words. Words limit your ideas. There's a magic in words. The way I was taught this when I was a bachur is, the Mashpil gave us this shiur, explained it in these words. There's a segula in words. What's the segula in words? Let's translate the first, the word segula. What does segula mean? There's a side benefit. There's something extraneous that is gained when you speak. And that is, that when people talk, all of a sudden the brain starts working. When you're a teacher, yeah, and you are on this level, and you're a talmidim on this level, and you sit and learn for hours every day, then you come to class, and you got to speak to your talmidim, so you sit there and figure out, what's the best way I can get across my ideas to my talmidim, and you're telling them much less than you know yourself. But there's a funny thing, as soon as you start to talk, ideas start to flow. And sometimes, the ideas that start to flow when you speak, are more than the ideas that would have flowed when you're sitting by yourself and learning. There's something unusual about words. I've seen this. You'll watch a bacher sit by himself and talk out a shtickle gemara. You know, sometimes you can look and say the guy's a little bit weird, but on the other hand, you learn that toisvis. You want to make it clear. So one way to do that is to write it down. Another way to do it is to articulate it. Arayis tzavim. Toisvis is on this gemara. This is what the gemara says. Toisvis as the kasha from this gemara. And this Gemara is a stira to our Gemara, and here's the reason why. And Tosfos says a teretz. And Tosfos says, no, that's not a good teretz, because that teretz only works in a case which is in a third Gemara. But in our Gemara and the second Gemara, there's a contradiction. And Tosfos gives you a second teretz. Tosfos does not give a teretz. Right? There's a teretz of Rabbeinu Tam, there's a teretz of the Ri. Right? People talk out ideas, right? Does anybody in this room ever done that? Seriously, is anybody in this room who's still awake ever spoken to themselves an inyan to make it clear to themselves? I guess that's a no, which is a bad sign, by the way. You've done it, okay. Why do you do it? What is your motivation in doing it? I have a theory. Tell me what's your reason. Speak out of thesis. To keep you awake, I agree with. To clarify it, fine. So then why can't you think it? Or even write it?
As it is, writing the same as
speaking. Something about saying it over that just...
Could you hang on 1 second? Writing lachet is even more than speaking. Because speaking is dibur, writing is maiseh. So just like dibur is from kadmos haseichel, so maiseh is even more. For sure, writing has the same quality. I say the reason people would rather speak than write is because speaking is a little quicker than writing.
Yeah,
but But l'chaira writing has that quality.
I for sure write.
But you don't have a clue. You just have to write. You don't know what you're writing.
And speaking.
But if it comes out, you just write the same thing over three different times.
You can work the writing too. You can erase it. You just don't want to tear the page out of your notebook. And what you speak is in the air anyway. So what's the, it doesn't make a difference. I'll tell you why I think the number one reason people speak when they're learning for themselves. They want to slow themselves down.
You remember it if you do like that.
That's also true. But I say that the number one reason you would speak to yourself a Tosfos is because one of the things that you go nuts when you start learning Gemara is the pace of the Gemara is very fast. You know, every single book has a pace. How fast you should read. The pace of the Gemara is super speed. Ideas are words. Ideas in Gemara are half a line, not a half a page. You read a book, any Goyish book, Lahavl, even a book of science, they express Tosfos. The number one problem with Tosfos is we don't orient ourselves to the speed of Tosfos. Tosfos is thinking very fast. And he expresses a point, not in three lines, but in three words. If we would realize that, we would l'chatchila approach Tosfos more slowly. You approach Tosfos more slowly, that's our pace in context of Tosfos. But we read Tosfos like it's a Rashi. And we hope that we'll get through without a glitch. It's impossible to read a Tosfos like the Rashi. It's a different pace. It's very fast. You gotta slow down. Rashi, we can fool ourselves into thinking that we know what Rashi's saying. Rashi's even faster paced than Tosfos. But we can fool ourselves. When you speak out of Tosfos, you're slowing yourself down. And automatically, you're organizing the ideas. And to be sure, Binyamin, you clarify for yourself what I know clearly and what I don't know clearly. And amazing things happen. You're learning, right? I mean, I've been a yeshiva bacher. I know what goes on in yeshivas. You sit for an hour and a half and you argue about pshat and the tosfos. And then you hate yourself and your chavrusa for wasting time. Seder's almost finished. So in the last 15 minutes, you cram. You want to be able to say to yourself, I learned something this morning. Spent an hour and 45 minutes, I was a bach, I remember arguing my chavrusa whether we should go look up a Gemara or not. So by the time we finished arguing about whether to look up the Gemara, we could have looked up the Gemara five times. But that's being a yeshiva bach. That's having a chavrusa. Huh? It depended on my mood, frankly. It depended on his mood, who was more tired, who was more reasonable. I mean, bach, let me show you this medrash. So if you would slow down, slowing down, in my opinion, is mamish speeding up. You slow down, you save time. When you chap, then they're repeating everything 15 times. But what the Rebbe says in the Maamar is like this. Notice, when you speak, and the reasons you're speaking are actually to dumb it down, to make it less, to make it organized. The brain opens up and a torrent of ideas come out. There's a shower of ideas. You all know what it says in the Ayin Yain. That when the middle of Rebbe would say chesidus, it was very quiet. Middle Rebbe was very, very quiet. In fact, as an aside, I'll share with you. Middle Rebbe lived in Lubavitch. You know what they did when it was hot? Middle Rebbe said chesidus outside. And he had no mic. And you were able to hear. Would you imagine Rebbe saying chesidus outside without a mic? With all the cars. There was nothing going on in Lubavitch. There weren't even wagons, huh? It was such a quiet place, that Rebbe could say chesidus outside, in the yard, and everybody heard. Because the Pasha was quiet. We live in a world that's so full of noise, we don't even know if it was quiet, we'd be frightened. Mamish. So in the middle of Chassidus, in the middle of Nabashayin, Shah. Roshayitir Shah was quiet. So it says the Lashon, Yem, and Yashin, Shah, Lahashkit Nevias HaMoichin. To quiet the flow of ideas. But in the middle of Rebbe, the Fidikim said once in Asicha, the middle of Rebbe is Moichin, very kind. That's the Fidikim said about the middle of Rebbe. We can't even imagine how powerful a brain the middle of Rebbe had. And he was telling himself, stay focused, Shah, his brain was flying. The Rebbe said, there's a certain thing that happens when you speak. Even though speaking by design is to slow an idea down. Or if you're speaking to another person, it's to communicate the idea. And the minute you're trying to communicate the idea, you're trying to make it less. You cannot possibly say what you're thinking. You cannot possibly express what you're feeling fully. You want to express it partially. Still, when you start to talk, the brain starts to give you new information. Why? Does anybody know the answer? Why is that? Huh? I have a very small pool of sources.
That's a new space that let out.
That's bad, man. So then how come, ironically, I mean, in your experience, do you agree with this? It's 100% true. Why? It's a funny thing. You prepare yourself, and you're so nervous, and when you actually say it, just the brain opens up and it showers right out, it spills out of you. Why? What are you saying? Why is that? Yitzchak, if you can't answer that question, I want to ask you a much more elementary question.
We're supposed to have an answer then.
Did you learn the Maimon? Is my next question.
Alright,
so you're excused. What about everybody else? You learned Dalet, you learned Page Vav. The boy initial.
I can't answer that
fast pace.
What does it say in the Maimon? Yitzchak, who are you holding? That's right, so why didn't you speak?
So what does that have to do with
that
any more words?
The answer is...
Why does that
mean
more words?
The answer is... Not more words, more ideas. Not more words, more ideas. The shadish of words is higher than the shadish of the ideas themselves. Your ideas come from your seichel, or your keicha seichel. The words come from the etzma nefesh. Which incidentally... What? Well,
I'm saying, why should
I don't know what Ein Sof means in the
words.
Not words, ideas. Because since it comes from a higher Shadish, when it comes down, it passes through the Keach HaMaskel, and it brings along more Ayid with it. And so you put together the words to create the specific idea you want to communicate, the Nefesh is giving you new Ayid.
So the Keach HaMaskel is a gushing
process. Shayfus. The Keach HaSeichel is not a gushing force. The Keach HaSeichel is a hiyulim. It's a potential. And you try to get... We try to get light out of the Keach HaYulim. Every little bit of light you get from the Keach HaYulim is, from our point of view, an enormous amount of information.
Is that the same reason why what we're just thinking is not completely...
Sometimes, but it's far more... It's far more true when you're speaking than when you're thinking. I didn't say machshava, I said seichel. Here's the idea. I said to you at the outset of the shiur what I think is an important point, and that is, you have to understand, the truth of the matter is, it should be more difficult to produce a word than to produce an idea. Words come from the etzem ha-nefesh. Ideas don't come from the nefesh, they come from the etzem ha-seichel, which is a koyach in the nefesh. The Eibishter did us all a favor when he gave us this so-called soul of speech, which chimpanzees don't have. That the words should come automatically. No human being has to concentrate on the production of words. Even though words come from a higher shalish in the nefesh, then the idea is that the words are carrying. Therefore, since the shalish of words is higher, when you speak, it automatically affects, or as I explained it to him a moment ago, when you speak, the words come from the etzma nefesh, they pass through the kayach ha-seichel. And therefore, when you speak, you have a brand new flow of information, brand new flow of ideas. So the Rebbe says, words are to ideas a makabel. Words receive the ideas. What are words by themselves? An idea, words without an idea. Yeah, what are words? Words are nothing. Words by themselves have no meaning, or very little meaning.
Words without ideas is just the ABCs.
Well, that's called letters without ideas. But even words, like it says in Chassidus, the word baruch means bless. Baruch Ata is far more meaningful than Baruch or Ata. Baruch Ata Hashem is even more meaningful, because when you put the words together to create sentences, it creates ideas. A word by itself has very little meaning. A letter by itself has no meaning at all, as you're pointing out. Words are a makabel. You have an idea. You want to communicate to another person. You want to teach it. So you find the words, you put it in those words to teach it. The words are a makabel. But the words, in addition to being a makabel, are also a mashpia. The words don't just carry the idea that you're giving it. The words produce new ideas. Why? Because like a makabel, like we discussed in the last shiur, we spoke about the earth, we spoke about the koyach hanukva of the female, that the makabel has the milas habitl. The same is true in words. Words come from the etzem and the nefesh. When they come out by themselves, they have no life. But when the words say ideas, the words create new ideas. When you're teaching, and you're speaking an Inyan, in the speech, new light is shed. When you're speaking, new oyed, new lichtigkeit is added to the idea that you're saying. So the Rebbe's point is this is another example to this concept of Kais. That just like in the Mashal of Kais, the Makabal is not just a Makabal, the Makabal is also a Mashpia. The same is true in words. And he gives, by the way, several examples for the idea that words are a Makabal and a Mashpia. The example which takes up most of his time is Seichel. When you talk an Inyan, as you speak, new light comes to you, right? But he gives another example. What's the other example? When you speak emotions, you're on the ball, my friend. When you speak emotions, when you express feelings, what happens? You become more emotional. And he brings a gewaltige Gedanke from the Reishis Chochmah. This is so un-Freudian, it's not even funny. The Reishis Chochmah, I've got your attention. The Reishis Chochmah says that when a person is angry, what should he do? He should go to a shrink and sit on a couch and get at all of his emotions? He says, no, don't speak. Why? Because the more you express your anger, the angrier you're going to get. It's not going to exhaust, it's not going to remove the anger, it's going to enhance the anger, it's going to exacerbate, it's going to make worse, it's going to make more of the anger. When you have an emotion, it's a negative emotion, don't talk, because words are going to enhance the feeling. So when you feel love towards another person and you express that love, the love grows. Yeah? And then he says another aspect. Not only is it true that when you say words, you come up with new ideas. When you say words, you come up with new feelings. When you say a word louder versus a word lower, there's also an increase. And he brings a very interesting halacha that's negated at this time of the year. We know that Shemini Esrei you have to say quietly. And if a person says Shemini Esrei aloud, we say that he's Miktani Amuna, this person has a lack of Amuna. Why? Because the Eibishter can hear the whisper too. What are you raising your voice? Disturbing other people in Shul. Right? So you say you're not allowed to daven loud. Except in Aseret Yemei. When it comes, Labavitch all year round. What do you mean? Shemini Esrei? Api Allah Chatzah Shailah. They're not allowed to hear you outside Dalai Lama's. Okay, read this. But in a sense, may it's a very Shulchan Aruch, if by davening louder it's going to help your kavanah, you're allowed to daven louder. So the question becomes, if it's good for a sense, may it's it's good for a whole year, and if a whole year it's a hepech amunah, it should be good, it should be hepech amunah for a sense, may also. And it has to do with the madrega. A sense, may we're on a higher level. But what's the point? The point is that not only is it true that when you say something, you express more. When you say it with more emphasis, when you say it louder, you're expressing even more. What's the key to this whole thing? Words are stones. Words are dead. Words by themselves have no energy. But they come from the Etzem HaNefesh. It's just the way it goes. Words come from Etzem HaNefesh. Words are man's equivalent of Yesh Me'ayin. Right? How did Hashem create the world Yesh Me'ayin? Anybody? He spoke. Well, you speak. Words should really be as difficult as Yesh Me'ayin. Only problem is, if words would be as difficult as Yesh Me'ayin, we would never say any, right? But when you speak, and it's true intellectually, it's true emotionally, it even has to do with the tone, how loud the words are, the ideas are going to come more and more from the subconscious. Why? Because the Sheidesh HaDibur is Kadam to the Sheidesh HaSeichel. Every idea consists of a Neshama and a Guf. The idea is the Neshama, the words are the Guf, the Sheidesh of the Guf is higher than the Sheidesh of the Neshama. So as you speak, there is a special flow of ideas that comes from the Nefesh as a result. So understand the Mashal. The Mashal goes on for a lot of pages. It's page the bottom of Gimel, Daled, Hey, and top of Vav. The Mashal is that when you use words, because the words are a Makabal. The words are Makabal from the idea. But even though the words are Makabal from the idea, the Shadish of the words is higher. And thus, as you speak, new ideas come. Now, what I just told you is really the very simplest pshat in this business. There's a sugi that I would like to share with you, and I'm going to say this for the next year. My next year, by the way, I'm going to be officially on page Vav. It's next week and next year. We should have Mashiach before our next year goes into Hay. But in the next year, I'm going to be talking on page Vav. What I would like to do is discuss with you the concept of what's called in Chassidus, Koyach Goloi and Koyach Ne'elam. And I'm saying this now, so if Mekan and Demonim. Okay, we're going to have this misinformation. Page Vav, when he talks about Edison Caleb, whatever it is. We'll talk about it in the next year.